What is going down, everybody? It's time for The Hype. MojoBreak.com, The Hype, episode number 176. 2021 Tops is here. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about what Vegas Dave, if you hadn't seen it, go on Vegas Dave's Instagram. He had a video predicting the sports card market going to crash. We have reactions to that. We're going to discuss that. We've got a lot of things going down on the website, MojoBreak.com. We do group breaks. Today we have Optic Football and 2021 Tops Series 1. Dan, what's going down?
Just getting the height of my chair adjusted properly. Just trying to figure out that.
You look like you grew 6 inches right now.
6'4 today.
Nice.
Like I said, I could dunk.
C-Rad, what's going down?
What's up? What's going on, everybody?
Well, let you guys know, if you guys didn't tune in last night, we are the champions. We won the Breaker Showcase for the 2021 Tops Rip Party. It was a great team effort. Team Mojo, we're the first ever Breaker Showcase champions. We will be showing you guys the Platinum Box Cutter once it comes in. We're also going to have some giveaways for that once that comes in as well, so you can help us celebrate. We have some special packs that we have coming in. We got some stuff that we're going to give out.
We're not giving away the box cutter though, right?
No.
Okay, just
I'm gonna sleep with that. We're gonna do it like the Stanley Cup, right? Yeah. I'll have a night with it. Dan will have a night with it. Cody has a night with it.
I think we.
You have
about
a night
that.
With it.
Yeah, we talked about that last week. That's what we were talking about last week. We were talking about doing a tour with it.
Yeah, but now it's real.
Driving down the El Camino it, just showing it off to everybody.
Now it's tangible.
It's real.
It's going to be in our hands. We defeated.
Knowing us, we're probably going to
three other breakers.
Knowing us, we're probably going to have to use it. Does it function as an actual box cutter? Is what I want to know.
I think so.
Because I don't know how many times we're ripping through cases over here, and we're always looking, going, "Anybody got a box cutter? Just take the platinum one." And use that.
Use
like
it,
a savage.
Man. Yeah, you got to do it, man. I remember back in the day, shout out to Cards Infinity. He had a guy that had a sword to open up boxes. It was back in 2000.
Like a machete?
It was like I don't even know. It
like a hunting
like
knife?
It looked like a huge sword, and people requested it because it was good luck. So I don't know. You know, I don't think we're going to take that platinum box cutter off the plaque, but I can't wait to see it. Obviously, it doesn't need to be real platinum. It's just a symbol of the victory that we had, and obviously a lot of luck, but shout out to the guys that competed against us, Layton, Bomber, and Real Breaks, and shout out to Tops for hosting a great event. I mean, the event leading up to the Breaker Showcase was fantastic with Mariano Rivera, Chipper Jones, Fergie Jenkins, a bunch of people opening up packs of Tops throughout the decade of Tops, and it was just really well done. Emily hosted it very well, and I think it was way more entertaining than the Rip Party from a year ago where we were all live and we did 9 hours of just breaking one product. I think they did it right this year.
I'm still emotionally, physically scarred from last year's event. That was, 10 hours of ripping constant packs?
Yes.
Performing, talking. I mean, fingers were hurting, throat was hurting. This was so much more chill. I mean, I got to say, you were in the forefront. You were taking the lead. You and Cody. C-Rad was doing a lot of the communication. I don't know what me and TJ were doing, but we were running around trying to look busy.
Well, it's funny. You know, my wife watched it, and she said, "Man, you were really intense." And I was like, "Well, I was trying to win." Yeah. You know what I mean? She's like, "You would answer it real quick and real fast." And I was like, "Yeah, because I had to get back to the packs." You know, she was, you know, and that's what it was. In the moment, you had to turn up the intensity level. And I know it was all for fun, but at the end of the day, you know, you want to try to win. You play the game to win the game, right? So
absolutely.
You play to win the game.
You play to win the game. But, yeah, it was a great way to show off Tops' products. That was the main point of it for everybody else, was to show off their product and pull these cards, these new inserts, these through the years, all this stuff that they have in 2021 Series Tops, yep. Which is what we're going to talk about right now. We're going to talk about 2021 Tops, 70 years of baseball cards, which is insane to think about. 1951 is when they kicked it off. Now we're in 2021, 70 years later, and they have a lot of nice inserts that represent all those different years of Tops. You guys have ripped some. What do you think overall of this year compared to other years?
Compared to 1951, I remember it like it was yesterday. And you know, when I was 22 in 1951. How old am I? Can I do math?
You're 150, apparently.
No, it was a great product. Love the throwback to the 86 design. You think of the 86 design, what car do you think of? C-Rad?
Mark McGuire, just kidding.
Well, he's one of them. Oh, no. He would be a little bit.
I think Jose Canseco.
Okay.
I think of that
just
car.
Just kidding. Mark McGuire is 84. My fault. My bad.
It's 80. Jose Canseco. 87 McGuire?
Is it 87?
Yeah.
The USA card?
No. That's 80. That's
84.
No, that's 80.
The USA card.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and stop the whole
show. Jose
Canseco. Let's go home.
That's a 6.5.
No, I think of I think of Canseco, the boxer. The great boxer. I mean, it's hard. I'm not a boxer myself.
Bro.
I don't know if I can last 9 seconds, but
1985.
It was close. 1985. So we split the difference.
1985. But yeah, I think of that design. I think of Jose, the great Jose Canseco.
86 year old's born.
That was with the bat.
I should have knew that.
That was the bat on the shoulder. The other thing I liked about this, it's the rookie class. I think we're gonna look back at this Series One and be like, this is one of the most loaded flagship rookie classes that we're gonna see. And I don't know. I mean, is it because of the odd season last year? Could have been. They could have added like Mountcastle and Joe Adell to last year's update, but they loaded it up. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I think that's one reason, but I think they knew, obviously, 70th anniversary, right?
It's gonna be a big deal.
If it was the 71 or 72, obviously they'll probably do something big for 75 because that's a big milestone too.
Mm-hmm.
They knew they were going to have some firepower to, you know, represent the 70th years. And the fact that the MLB was only 60 games last year, I think they didn't know what to do. So update kind of lacked in the rookie talent. And you're seeing them in Series 1. I mean, Joe Adell, you know, Ryan Mountcastle. Even guys like Andrés Giménez, who is a highly touted Mets prospect in Bowman, is mm-hmm. getting his first card, too. So
Joey Bart.
Yep.
Also,
Cousins.
I want to add, like, because yesterday, you know, before we went live with the Breaker Showcase, I was watching a lot of the stream that they put on yesterday. For somebody that doesn't know as much of baseball history, for somebody like me, it was actually a really good broadcast. Like, they did a great job on that, taking you through the history of the different years and stuff, and the different decades, actually, is how they were doing it. So that was a shout-out to Tops for a very well-made production yesterday.
Yeah. And they like I said, I think this was much better as from a consumer than watching 9 hours of 30 breakers open up.
I'm sure they learned from last year, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they did a great job considering last year with all the camera angles they had, with the interviews with Pete Alonso and stuff, and being at AT&T Stadium in Texas. It was a great event, but you can only do so much with people ripping flagship. You can't hold an event for that long and keep people engaged.
Yeah.
The other thing I love about it is that they did the after party like session. So they allowed, I think it's about 25 breakers to show off the product early to their customer base. And they picked some of the best breakers in the business to do that as well. So
yeah,
I want to give a shout out to a lot. They obviously didn't do the breaker showcase, but they didn't alienate a lot of the best breakers out in the industry. So want to give a shout out to Tops for that as well. So
now let's get to some of the complaints about the product that I've been seeing across, you know, the online outlets where people complain, Twitter, you know, Instagram, Facebook. I think people are complaining about the size of the name on the base cards, which at first glance, I kind of thought the same thing, but I think the way they did the photo with the bordering, I think that's the way they had to do the name. So I think after seeing it for a while, I'm okay with it. So I think it's one of those things at first glance, you're like, the name is so small. But it really plays well into the being the full picture of the player and stuff like that. The other complaint, I think, would be the through the years where they they took, which they probably shouldn't do this again, is they took like a definitive card. And they said through the years, Shohei Ohtani, and it was a picture of Ohtani's auto definitive card. So it looks like at first glance when you pull it, it's an auto.
Mm-hmm.
There was actually people in the Topps feed while we were doing the Breaker Showcase saying that people are missing Mike Trout autos. Because
yeah, there's a Mike Trout 1-of-1 patch auto definitive that has...
And a Bowman one.
And a Bowman one. And there was people in the live chat. We didn't see it at the time, but we, Doug and I, went over it after the broadcast. And I would say for a good solid 45 minutes, there was people saying, you passed a Mike Trout auto. You passed a Mike Trout auto. You passed a Mike Trout auto. And it's like, but it's not. It's literally a picture of a card on the card.
Yeah, and I get what they were doing. They're trying to show people that, like, maybe people that only collect base tops, that, like, hey, there's Museum Collection, there's Definitive, there's Tier 1.
They're trying to showcase their other designs and the other products.
Why wouldn't they want to do that?
But
I think it's a great idea, but I think they should have. But if you look at what they did, they didn't just reprint that card. It's a picture of a card.
It's a sell sheet photo. It's actually a mock-up.
It's a mock-up.
It's a mock-up. But, my first one I pulled, I thought I got a Juan Soto auto. I was like, whoa! Oh, it's not. It's a Ginter reprint.
But they've done that before, though.
They've done that, but usually they do that through the years, just a picture of a base card. That way you're kind of not mistaken that it's an auto.
You're right.
This year they actually showed some of their high-end products throughout the years with they had a Bo Bichette chrome auto, right? Mm-hmm. So with the facsimile on the auto, I think it gets confusing, especially with the amount of new people that are coming into this hobby, right? So you think you got an auto. There's people listing it on eBay. There's cards selling for way more than they should because these cards are common. And then people are thinking they're buying autos. And there's also people that are trying to sell them off as autos. So buyer beware on those. There's no definitive patch autos or triple threads patch autos in Series 1 2021. It's not there. So, yeah. But other than that, I mean, any other takeaways you guys have from 2021 Series 1?
The only other complaint that I saw, and it's completely out of Topps' hands, is the fact that people were complaining that they were not going to see retail SKUs in their Target and Walmart. If you were noticing, Topps did something today that was great. I mean, they were selling it direct to consumer. Not great for us, but great for the collector for $80. $79.99 for a hobby box. Now, you can make an argument that the bots got to it.
Yeah, there was a lot of complaining about.
There was a lot
not
of complaining
being
about not being able. But that's the thing. Like, what do they do? Do they have like a lottery system? I mean, they've done it before with some of their products where you sign up for the lottery system and then they send you an email if you get in or not. If they roll something out at that price, maybe they should resort back to the lottery process, or limit one per ship to address.
I think that's what they're doing, but you know, bots can figure out how
bots
to have,
figure out a way. Yeah.
You know,
and I agree, John. Cheers, John. Real men do drink kombucha, or Fanta.
Put tear on your chest,
or Fanta strawberry soda, which is also very good.
Nah, not real
I like
men.
The orange one, but
just gamers.
Mountain Dew and Fanta.
No, dude. If gamers drink Mountain Dew. The red.
Red, cold red. This is
code
cold red.
Red
right here.
Code
this,
red.
This is cold
true,
red
man.
Right
it totally is. Totally is. You gotta get your caffeine when you're on air, right? You gotta get up. And then C-Rad's got a Series 1 case after. So I think he's got 15 of these.
Yep.
And he's got 15 to get through today.
Loaded.
For
ready to go.
Optic and Series 1 to get through. But yeah, so Series 1, I mean, I was pleasantly surprised at the amount of rookies that they got into the mix. We pulled a Nolan Ryan auto today, which was, you know, unexpected. Out of the chrome packs, the chrome packs are actually loaded. I think I've pulled in 6 cases, I think we've pulled like at least 4 autos.
And John saying in the chat as well, good point, because I know in previous years you were getting, at least last year, you would in a jumbo pack, you would get a gold parallel numbered 2020.
Yeah.
Numbered to the year. This year, you're right. I think we were getting like one every other pack.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think the checklist is any smaller of the subject, so they probably did make some more. But again, Topps, their model is print to order, and if the orders come in, you know, through the roof, they're probably going to make a little bit more than they did the previous year.
Right, and I mean, if you have a local card store next to you and they don't carry this, that shocks me. Tell your local card store, that if they don't, tell them to call me up and I'll give them a great price so that they can have it in their store. It should be available. That is a product that you need to have in your store. If you're selling cards, if you're a card store, you need to have that product in your store. Secondly, the people that are complaining about the Walmart and Target, it's funny because I look at it this way, and we were talking about this off air, is if you walked into Target and you saw 100 boxes of Series 1, you wouldn't buy it. But since you walk in there and they don't have it, you want it and you're pissed. The last 10 years, Series 1, always been available. It's always there. It's there every day. Go weeks, it'll be there. Still there. You can buy it whenever you want. Now, yes, the market's hot. People want cards. People want cards at $20. They want to buy a box for $20 to either flip it or let's hopefully they open it.
Get a good rookie.
Everybody wants it. Everybody's going there to buy it. Everybody's trying to get there early to buy it. But that increases the singles prices. That increases the overall hobby. So it's going to be hard to get. But if, like I said, if it was there, most of these people would not have this FOMO and they wouldn't buy it. They'd be on to something else. They would not be buying these boxes. So.
Well, I mean, go back 4 years ago. You can go into any Target or Walmart and see Series 1, Series 2, or Update Blasters, no problem.
Right.
And getting back to the card shop not having Topps flagship, it's like a Honda dealership not stocking Civics.
Yeah, not stocking Hondas.
Well, I mean, if you're a Honda dealership, you got to have Honda. But it's like your number one seller. You're like, nah, I don't stock that.
Civics, nah.
I just do Elements. That's it.
No, it's Toyota.
No, the Elements, the one with like the SUV with the plastic seats.
Honda Element, that's right.
Box shape one.
The box shape.
It's like
one.
The old Scion AB or XB.
I don't think they make Element anymore.
Whatever,
bro.
Man.
There might be one dealership that's all there. They're holding on to, man.
They're just holding on. They're the Element discount dealership.
The main dealer of Elements.
But yeah, it's similar to the XB. I know you're going with that. You know, Scion's not a thing anymore.
No, yeah.
A couple years ago.
Vintage, man. You should hold on to those.
Yeah, I got one.
It's like limited production.
It's allocated. It's on the. Maybe we should put it on eBay. What do you think?
I do see a lot of your Scions around.
Yeah?
I see a lot of them.
Remember, we had, this is, I don't even know why we're talking about this. We had like a, what do you have, 04 Scion?
06.
06 Scion?
Yeah. TC.
TC. I had the same one. Yours was gray, mine was blue.
Bro, you guys are Scion boys?
In 06.
So yeah, 06. The 06 Scions were notorious for the trunk, the little panel that had where the button, where you'd hit the button to open up the trunk, the little panel fell off all of them. So if you go to that era and you see any Scion on the road, I can guarantee that back panel is like taped or just falling off.
See, mine was fine.
Yours is fine?
Yeah, you know why?
Yours is the only one. Did you never touch your trunk?
I didn't.
You didn't even know. You're like, it doesn't even open.
No, I think I was lazy and I would just throw in the back seat. Whatever I had, just throw in the back.
It was a hatchback, so you can do that.
Yeah,
your back seat connects to the trunk.
Yeah, so I never opened it, and that's why it stayed in there. But, I think I had speakers in there too, so I didn't want to open it. You know, paranoia. But yeah,
every single one, even the XBs, they had the same panel on the back. Like I don't know what it was. They like
shoddy.
I think they put them on with bubble gum.
The duct tape, yeah.
I don't even think duct tape. That's what they use after to fix it was the duct tape. But initially, it was just a chewed up a little bit of bubble gum, put it on there, and put it to the showroom.
Let's just hold it on there. Well, another product came out today. I know 2021 Series 1's been what we've been talking about, and you know, it's a very pivotal point for the hobby. But we have Optic, which is a huge football release. If you follow the Patrick Mahomes from 2017, the Josh Allen's from 18, and the Kyler's from 19, those are one of the most sought after rookie cards for football collectors. So today we have 2020 Optic, and we did one case today, and it's very, very colorful. You get one auto per box on the hobby. They have the downtown inserts, which you see right here. We actually pulled a Pat Tillman, which is absolutely phenomenal. I mean, Pat Tillman, local.
So you got
kid.
One downtown in that case.
One downtown in that case. Okay. Four, 40 guys on the checklist, all the guys that matter, all the rookies, Tom Brady, Pat Tillman, like we said. I think the cards look great. I mean, where do you think, I'll go to C-Rat on this one, where do you think Optic stands compared to Prism in terms of football?
Well, if you go off any other year besides this current year that we're in, if you go off any other year, Optic's always rated a lot higher than Prism. Now the market's changed a lot in the last year, so you know it's gonna be interesting to see. But generally, Optic is rated higher in the, you know, shiny category than Prism. So,
And, you know, we had a couple people in the chat today that said that they prefer Optic over Prism and Mosaic.
Because of the autos. I bet you that's what they said,
it's
right?
It's the on-card autos. You know, and I think the design, to me, and I think we've had this conversation on prior hypes, I think it's the Prism came out first. That's why.
Yeah.
Prism came out, and then it was 2 or 3 years later than Optic came out. So it was like Prism already put its foot in the door, and it was the first.
Optic's trying to catch up.
And Optic, just because it was second. But if they would have made Optic first, I think Optic would be the card that's the number one, the Optic Holos. They seem to make a lot less Optic than they do in terms of Prism. So the pop reports on some of these should be smaller than Prism. You know, make your case here on why a collector would collect Optic over Prism, more than what you just said.
The main reason for me really is the on-card Raider rookie autographs. They're always beautiful, especially like if you get a color. You know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing to keep in mind too, like just based off of previous years for those that are new to the hobby, downtown inserts are very sought after, right? In specifically football and basketball. They're actually very, very, very rare in regular Donruss, like the flagship Donruss football. But in all previous years of Optic Donruss, they seem to be dropping way, way more. Like, I know you guys said you only got one per case, but I wouldn't be surprised if I started seeing like 2-3 per case.
Right.
In Optic. So that, just keep that in mind when you're maybe trying to buy a downtown on eBay or wherever, you know.
Maybe wait a week or two, market. Right, just to see how many come popping out.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, because they are very sought after and collectible, and people love them. Obviously, they look beautiful. But they do seem to drop a lot more in Optic. But yeah, the thing, like for me.
Why don't we compare holo? Let's do this.
Okay.
Optic Holos, Prism Silvers.
Okay.
Rarity. Obviously, Prism Silvers sell for more.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is over the Optic Holos?
Okay, so just speaking from my opinion, you know, like I've always been more of a Prism football guy. And you know, I do like the on-card autos more. Like, that's why when people bring up like, man, people always say, I wish Prism autos were on-card. I was like, you know, for me, that's not why I would like Prism. You know, I like Prism for the bays and the colors. And then Optic is the one where I go to for the auto. So I think, to answer your question, the silver is worth more. One, like you said, because it came out first. Two, it is more rare than a holo. And yeah, I think that it pretty much boils down to that. They are more rare than the Optic Holos.
Dan, what are your thoughts on Holos versus Silvers?
I think Holos, you're getting about 4 per box. It seemed like I was getting 2 rookies and 2 vets, but small sample size. I've only opened up 6 boxes. The thing I want to break down, though, is cost per card based on Optic and Prism.
Yep.
So if you buy an $800 box of Optic, there's 4 cards a pack. There is 20 packs.
It's going to make less cards.
80 cards, right? It's $10 a card.
Mm.
Right? $10 a card. You look at Prism, you get 12 packs.
12 packs.
Of 40 cards? Is it 40?
24.
No, 24 cards?
Yep.
So I look at it and go, this Optic is a way more expensive product card.
Way more expensive.
But it seems like there's a lot less fluff. I don't know if that's the right word. I think Prism has all those vets, and then you're really only getting to the inserts and the rookies at the end, right? So or an auto or whatever. It seems like there's a lot more, like 10 of the cards in a Prism pack are worthless.
There's more fluff.
Not
in
worthless,
Prism.
But you know.
But if you like the feeling of like getting more cards, like Dan was saying, like Prism is where you want to go.
Well, I mean, a chance at getting. I mean, but go into a store and you get one pack, you're getting 4 cards.
Yeah, it's more brutal to open up.
You may get one rookie, but if you get one pack of Optic. 25 cards in a Prism and you spend $100, you can get 3, 4, 5 rookies maybe, and you have a better chance of getting an auto because there's what?
2.
2 autos
compared to one.
1 auto out of 20 packs as opposed to 1 in 6.
And the prices, well, I guess Prism's a little bit. Prism's like, well, when it came out, Prism was about the same price.
About the same price.
So, what do you guys think? If you had the same, if they were the exact same price, what are you buying? Prism, football, or Optic? I just want to hear what you guys say in the chat. And maybe on the Mojo Break media video, if you want to comment below on where would you put your money. I don't know. After opening Optic today, and maybe just that newness feel, I kind of like lean towards the way the Optic looks. I'm a guy, I don't like to have all those cards. If I open up a box, I don't want that many cards. You know what I mean? I just want my rookies and stuff, and I feel like that's what they do with Optic. They've eliminated a lot of the extra cards, you know?
Yeah, I'll give you the on-card auto, because like if we were going a step further and talk about like the best on-card rookie autos to get every single year, obviously it's contenders, right? Number one. And I'm not talking about RPAs, just on-card autos. And then Optic would probably, rated rookies would probably be up there with contenders. Not as high as contenders, but it'd be up there.
I agree with the rated rookie stamp. I think that's super cool.
Yeah.
And that's something that Panini's done.
And they actually pimp that out a lot more than they pimp out. Well, the Prism just has the rookie card logo, right? So mm-hmm. they pimp out the rated rookie logo a lot.
It's just for me, like, you know, I'm biased for Prism. Like, I liked Prism when nobody liked Prism. So for me, like, there's just something about Prism football that I've always liked. All the colors, like a lot of base. That's, you know, for me personally, that's where I'm at.
I do want to say one more thing before we go into the next segment.
Till we eat barbecue in the next one.
Yep, going to Famous Dave's. The hollows this year, and it's not, once it gets in a top loader, I don't think it's really going to affect the condition. It's not really going to affect if you get it graded or anything, but they are coming out a little bit more bowed. Kind of
notice
like,
more this year, yeah.
Kind of like you would see in a Topps Chrome,
but only in the hollows, not so much.
Only
in
the hollows,
yeah.
So the base cards are fine, the regular base cards are fine, the autos are fine. The hollow, the chromium technology they put on those hollows, it's a little bit thicker and it's slightly bowed. And you'll see it. The first one you hit, you'll see right away. It's got that little.
I mean,
it's not 2010 Topps Chrome bow where it's like a horseshoe.
Yeah.
But
I was gonna say, like, for those of us that have been in the industry for a while now, we're used to chrome cards being, you know, bowed.
Yeah,
so,
and I mean,
it won't really affect the if you, when you're getting graded, it won't affect it too much.
I mean, when you put it in top loader,
it'll flatten.
But then especially since
especially
when you get it sent in to get graded, then it's, you know, obviously.
You know, but I was noticing, and this could have, obviously we only had a one case, small sample size. It seemed like there were more imperfections on the Optic Hollows than noticeably on the Prism. I mean, because Prism has a lot more lines and divots in it that maybe you just don't see the imperfections. But I was noticing a lot of edging.
A lot of edging on the Hollows. But with Prism, you get the dimples.
Yes.
You get a lot of the obvious off-centering on some of the prisms. I don't know, man. If I had to pick one, I think I stick with Prism.
Yeah,
I think Prism's the OG. Plus, I think it has to do more about when it comes out. It's basically right when football season starts.
It's a good point. Yes, it's right in the midst of the rookies still have a lot more potential than just what
we
have now.
You kind of see, I mean, the Super Bowl was Sunday.
Yeah.
You kind of see the drop off of just the mentality of like, all right, basketball, looking into baseball, like I'll start thinking about football again come like May.
To add to that, it's funny because this weekend, you know, with Super Bowl weekend and we were doing breaks, I was telling people, like, actually, if you think about it, in a regular year, right, and even somewhat this, once football season is done, actually some of the best football products start coming out, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you're talking about, I mean, Optic, obviously, is one that always comes out near the end of the season. You got Select coming up. Obviously, the huge one is National Treasure is still
never
coming out.
One
Football, Place and Patches,
like
Limited, Flawless. Like, all these great football products actually come out after the season's way done.
Yeah, we're, like, only halfway through product
like
releases.
So if you look at while the products that are coming out while their season is going on, there's some good ones in there. There's obviously some good ones in there. But the best products actually come out after the season
is
done.
Well, we are – Doug's right. I mean, we're, what, halfway through?
Maybe 60%.
We will still see a 2020 product come May or June.
even maybe even later this
maybe
year because
later.
Of what happened was happening.
But I think I think June June or yeah, probably sometime in June we'll see the first 2021 draft product.
And not to jump ahead, and I do want to go over what people said in the chat because there's some good content in the chat about Prism versus Optic. Did I see yesterday that there might be four straight quarterbacks? 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm pretty sure they said it was Lawrence, Fields, and then I can't remember the other two guys.
Where are these quarterbacks going to play?
Well, you got the Jets, you got the Jags, you got the
Sam Darnold and Gardner Minshew. Who else you got?
I like Minshew.
The Texans are going to get rid of their quarterback.
Watson.
I still have hope for Donald, bro. I interviewed him. You know, he likes Taylor Swift.
He likes Pokemon. He collected Pokemon.
He likes Taylor Swift.
So I have hope for him, bro.
Eyes met, sparks flew, emotions ran high. You guys, best buds. What's he eating for lunch?
I wish I'd interviewed Josh Allen, too, though.
I think they passed him out, right? They didn't.
He was in front of us. Josh Allen was in front of us.
Yeah. You didn't do Rosen, right? Rosen didn't.
Rosen was the was you guys the next year.
No, Rosen was that year. UBB
was 2018.
Okay,
yeah, UBB did Rosen that year, and I think it was.
They kept warning us.
Yeah,
about
because
him.
he was saying like, why are he's like, why can't I keep this? You're doing this for free or something like that. He was like,
yeah,
you know what I mean. And he's like, no, my customers have bought these cards or something like that.
Interesting.
He's like, they just give this to you.
Rosen was 2018. I forgot.
I know. It's on the Niners now. We'll see.
But we didn't do it 17, though.
No.
But we went to the GTS event.
Yes.
17 was basketball. We did the basketball event in 17. And then
that's
2018,
right.
We did football. And then you
in
guys
2019, we did football. Yeah. Didn't do it last year.
No basketball last year.
No, nobody did it.
All right. So go some of the people in the chat. Max's optic looks way better. SB says Prism Football as is his pick. Max also says rated rookie stamp all the way. Jem says who cares how it looks like Prism. Yeah, I get that point. Prism is more easy on the flipping.
That wasn't always the case, bro. Yeah. That wasn't always the case where you could say Prism. That's the one. Because I broke Prism for years when nobody didn't give a damn about Prism Football.
Yeah, Prism
like,
Football
literally
picked up 2 years ago.
Hey,
pretty
man.
Much.
No one. I remember breaking Prism Basketball when no one cared. Yeah, so.
Exactly.
Bro, I broke cases and cases of 2017 Prism at a loss. Nobody cared about it, but yeah. I loved opening it because I love Prism Football.
Yep. And then tough question is if we are taking value Prism, but I like Optic, Chris says. So, yeah, kind of split. I think more people are leaning more towards Prism. One thing interesting to note, I don't know if you've seen it, but Select Football, retail now.
It's a retail only?
They're making retail SKUs now.
Woo!
So a lot of people are upset. Because,
that's the MVP product usually every year.
Yeah, so you're going to – I don't know how they're going to break it down. I don't know if they're going to keep the premieres and the field levels and all that stuff in the retail version. We'll have to follow that story as it comes out. But it's definitely going to water it down.
Bound to happen.
It's not surprising. It's definitely not surprising. Panini needs to make that money. And, you know, they may be getting pressure from the NFL to make more product and make more money for them. But, yeah, Select is going to be in your local Walmart and your Target for about 30 seconds. So you need to get your flip-flops and your
You need
socks.
To line up. Line up at the front of the
flip-flops
door.
Flip-flops and socks is the official, wear of the flipper. And you sit in there and you wait and you maybe grease the wheels a little bit with the guy that's going to bring it in. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to go down.
And
maybe
you might break the shelf.
Yeah. You just take it all. You're going to fight. You're going to be fight.
You should have ran with it with C-Rad there. You should have been like, yeah, dude, it's only retail this year.
Oh,
sorry.
I know his face was.
Yeah, I think you about ready to break his heart right there.
Yeah, dude. We've been getting less and less of Select every year. So, you know, obviously that sucks that we're not able to break as much. But if it was retail only, yeah, I was about to rage.
Safe to say, though, in football, I would still rank it Prism, Optic, Select.
I would rank it the same way. However, Select is everybody's favorite product because it just delivers.
It has everything.
Yeah.
It has a little bit of everything. And I think one thing to note with Select that a lot of new collectors don't keep in mind is the three levels of parallel add extra value because you could have a silver premier level which is worth less than the silver field level. Right. Mm-hmm. So there's, instead of having a pop report, and it equals out to the same pop report, but instead of having like 8,000 Luka silvers, you have like 2,000 of each one. Right.
Yeah.
So if you get that field level of, Tua or Herbert, then it should be worth more than. So they kind of do different tiers of those parallels, which is kind of interesting. And a lot of collectors don't know that. And some of the guys that have invested early kind of bought those Lucas, those trays, those premier. I think what's the basketball premier
Concord. It goes concourse, premier, then courtside.
Courtside, yeah. So they were buying the courtside silvers, and those hold a premium because that's the hardest parallel.
Super premium.
Yeah. So, all right. The moment you guys have been waiting for. We're going to talk about Vegas Dave. If you haven't watched this video yet, it's on his Instagram. It's a 15-minute video of him basically saying Gary V's wrong. He's right that the sports market card will crash in 2084, somewhere around there, sometime between now and 2084. It's going to happen.
I think so.
Somewhere. It's going to crash.
I think somebody's peeking the microphone.
But no. He came out with a video saying that the sports card market will crash in 2024. And he gave a lot of reasons. The guy makes some good points. It's hard to digest it between all the ego.
He does make some solid points in
his
video.
He makes solid points, but there's a lot of ego and a lot of just self-justification going on in there.
Yeah.
He obviously sold a Trout card that he bought for $400,000, and he sold it for $3.5 million, which obviously maybe one of the biggest flips of all time.
But he said it was going to be like
– I would say that's the biggest
flip. But he said it was going to be like $10
million. In 10 years.
But why didn't he hold on to it then?
Because he's just
– Because it's going to crash in 2024?
Yeah.
But wait a second. If it's going to crash in 2024 or 2084, if it's 2084, then yeah, it might be worth $10 million.
So before we get into some of the details, I do want to commend him on his choice of clothing. Very bold. I cannot, as a almost 40-year-old guy, I'm assuming he's around the same age. I couldn't wear pink, so props to him.
Bro.
I also could not go out in public with my name not only on my shirt, but also embroidered in on my jacket.
Bro,
could not do that.
If I flipped the Mike Trout from 400K to 4 million. You guys might see me in some pink clothes, bro. With the purse.
You know, look like Trippy Red and the all Gucci or whatever.
Yes. Yes.
But how many zippers do you need, though? Like, how many zippers?
Okay,
do you
need? That's a little excessive.
There's a
the
lot
zippers.
Of zippers going down.
Well, you got to have a lot of pockets
for the money.
For the money.
That's true. That's true. Maybe I just don't have enough.
Yeah, you
money.
Don't. You don't know that life.
You just throw like I got my 5K here.
You don't know. You don't know that life when you just got that mad ducats and you have just pockets everywhere. You gotta push. You gotta put those dollar bills in there.
Yeah, and believe me, I'm far from a fashionista. I just I do commend him on the boldness of a grown man wearing pink and carrying around a $1 million purse, which is what is next to him. He collects those, which are Birkins, I guess. And the only reason I know that is because of him.
So basically, he's doing a great job at marketing and content. If all of us only know what those bags are because of him,
he should get a job.
I mean, it doesn't really matter because one, I can't afford one, and two, I'm not a purse guy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm not a. Maybe I could be, but I don't know. I don't think it's my look.
So, for those that haven't seen the backstory of the video, he basically went on air and did a preview, and he burned some 86 Fleer cards, which, first off, he burned a 86-87 Fleer Magic Johnson that he claimed was a rookie card, which is not correct. So, right there, credibility is a little bit in the air. He then burned a Clyde Drexler. He said, hey, stay tuned later tonight. I'm going to put my full video up. So he basically says that he thinks that some of these auction sales are supremely inflated. He points out that Steph Curry was a $20,000 to $30,000 card in 2019, and it's a one sold for $980,000 in 2021. And he basically says, well, Steph Curry didn't play last year, so there's no reason for that card to go up. He said the Michael Jordan Fleer Gem Mint 10 was 100K in 2020, and now a year later it's 730,000. And we all seen these. We all are like, our head is, we're blown away. And so that's why he's saying that these companies like Rally Road, these companies like the Collectible app, are buying these cards and then selling shares. Mm-hmm. So that's where I do agree with him.
Yeah, that's a solid point. Like, if you guys watch it, you'll see what we're talking about like the Wall Street kind of coming in and selling shares of buying these cards, first of all, and then selling shares of these cards to, you know, drive the prices up, right?
Exactly. And those people, you have three or four, 500 shareholders that may decide to get out of it. That's fine. But the individual that is buying a card for $950,000 probably has more than just $950,000. Do you really think that that person is now going to liquidate that card at $200,000 or $300,000 or $400,000? They'd probably just rather hold on to it and put it in their casket than liquidate something like that at that much of a loss.
Got dark all of a sudden.
No, I'm just saying, I'm just proving a point that, like, if I had something that devalued that, like, just say it devalued that much and I spent that much money, I'm not gonna take that much of a loss on it.
I think what Vegas Dave does, and he does a good job at it, is shock content. The whole burning the cards and the whole throwing out these crazy numbers, it's to get people riled up and talk about them, which he is succeeding.
Because we're doing it
right now, and there's probably going to be 5 to 6 other podcasts that are probably going to run something similar.
Every other podcast.
And you're going to see tons of bloggers on, you know, Twitter, you know, tweeting out about it and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, he's loving it.
He's getting what he's attempting to do. Like, yes. It's working. And that's what it is. He's just a shock content guy. I look at it, you're right, some of the stuff he said in the last video makes sense.
Yeah.
But I can't take him seriously.
Yeah.
I can't take him seriously because I do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I sit here and do the same exact thing as he does. I sit here and I'll disagree with Doug when I just do it to make conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It's all shock. It's all content. I give him props because everybody's going to be talking about him, but whatever. I mean, he's kind of a tool.
When you're talking about $900,000 cards, when you're talking about $3 million cards, when you're talking about $5 million cards, you're speaking to the collectible community of about 0.00001%.
Less than the 1%.
Of the community. I mean, I don't think there's anybody watching right now or any of us here that bought any of those cards or have enough money to buy any of those cards. So it really doesn't affect the overall economy of the sports cards. Yes, it does raise the little ones up. He does make a good point that it does raise the little ones up. But at the end of the day, and I'm random Indy made a point that I was actually going to go over anyway. The economy has been bolstered by the stimuluses, the more money going into the economy. The stock market's gone up. So just like the stock market, just like crypto, cards have gone up too. It's almost like the dollar might be devalued to the point where the sports market's already corrected itself to where it's going to be. And that's just a theory, obviously. I don't know. I didn't go to school. I'm not an economist, but I'm not a financial advisor, so don't take any of my words as bond here. But I'm just saying, you see some of these things in the money markets, and a lot of them parallel sports cards. So I don't think there could be a few smoke and mirror situations going on. There could be a few cards that don't get paid for, that the auctions go up. But there is real money being spent. There's real money, real investments being made. I hate to use the word investment, but I mean, it's what people are buying these cards for. And at the end of the day, these people did not buy this to rig the market or anything like that. It's not going to continue to go up like this.
Yeah.
But it's not going to go like this either. It's not going to crash and burn like he said. It's not going to burn like he burned the 86 Jordan sticker, which...
Yeah, that was silly.
I would like to know if that was real. I mean, a real man would crack a PSA and burn it. But
so, but that card specifically, like we looked at, generally a PSA 8, and the card that he burned was a raw card. If it was even the card, it could have been just a paper printout of mm-hmm. it. Who knows? It's a $6,000 card if it's a PSA 8. He claimed it was a $20,000 card. Then he claimed it was a $200,000 card.
If it was PSA 10, right?
No, if it was a PSA 10, it wouldn't be a $200,000 card.
Oh.
And there's...
We were just looking at the eights. The eights are like 11,000, which is crazy.
No, I think the eights are 6,000.
No, well, they were anywhere from 6 to 11, but you never...
It's not. It's not the Jordan... I mean, it's... Don't get me wrong. I'd love to have one. It's, but it's not the Jordan. It's not the Jordan you want.
Yeah.
It's out of the same set, but you're not looking for the Jordan sticker. You're looking for the true Jordan.
Yeah, iconic. I think he was, you know, obviously with that, he was looking to make a point that, like, this is what I think is going to happen. He chose a card that obviously wouldn't, like, get... People so if he did the Jordan rookie, bro, that would have like maybe like people are angry because he burned a card in general. Like I thought it was stupid that
he burned like $1,000 as well, yeah. Like actual like $100 bills. He burned those, which I don't think you can actually do.
Yeah, it's, like I don't think you can burn. Money. I don't think, you think that's burn, why his video got pulled down.
I don't think you can
one.
Burn money. I don't. Yeah. Again, I'm not. But you're not a financial advisor. I'm not a lawyer. So I don't know.
But like you said, it was for shock value. But
I'm
even
not.
Then, it's dumb. It's kind of like the same situation when like you know that other company cut up that card for like shock value because they're like, we got this, money. That's what he's saying basically. Like I got this money. I don't care if I burn this Jordan. Like this market is gonna crash. Like just like this Jordan is burning right now in front of your face is what he's trying to tell us.
Yeah, it's complete under shock value.
It's
I was actually shocked that he said he was only a million. He's like, I wanted to go up. I'm $1 million in. I was like, that's it. You know,
I don't know.
I know $1 million is a lot of money, but I thought a guy with a Birkin $1 million Birkin purse would have like $20 million in sports card business.
And I don't know Gary V. And Gary V. seems like a nice guy. He opinionated guy seems like a nice guy that has a lot of valid points. I don't know why Vegas Dave, I know why. Again, he's trying to, it's that shock content.
He's going for the biggest name.
But
he's going
after Gary Vee. Gary Vee don't want to mess with Vegas Dave.
I was going to say, do you think there's any chance that him and Gary Vee are doing this for content together?
No,
I don't think Gary Vee would get involved.
Sorry. Vegas Dave, Gary Vee, you ain't on Gary Vee's level, bro.
He's not on Gary Vee's
level.
He
ain't on
Gary
Vee's level.
And Gary Vee doesn't do these like marketing stuff.
Yeah, he ain't gonna stoop low enough. What's he gonna do? Be like, I'll see your Jordan sticker and I'm gonna raise you a PSA 10 Magic Johnson Larry Bird Julius Irving card, light it on fire.
All right, then we just gonna start fires around the hobby.
That's not what the hobby's about.
But what I also didn't like about what he was doing was he was comparing it to the subprime mortgage market, which
mortgage crisis.
I'm a simpleton. I don't understand how those two parallel. One of them is you buy a house, you put $10,000 down, you owe $900,000, whatever. You're getting a mortgage that you can't pay. On a card, you're buying it
and you already
and
own
you
it.
Own it. So how could that be comparable? The reason why the housing market went down because they were giving people with bad credit or people with no money housing and promise that it'll go up.
The only thing is that if somebody is maxing out their credit card with no intent, and they have a credit card with $1 million limit, and they're just maxing it out with no intention to pay for
Dang,
it.
Dang, I want $1 million limit credit
I don't
card,
even know. Is
do
that
you
thing?
Really think that... And unless he's thinking the guy that buys the card for $900,000 is thinking they're going to flip it next year for $1.2 million or $1.3 million. My opinion is I think the person that's buying the $900,000 card wants it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They want that
card.
Well,
I think they want to put their money into an asset that they think that has a good chance of appreciating.
Right.
Or at least a good chance of staying flat with inflation.
You know, yeah. One thing we should probably point out too is like, you know, there is a segment of the community and the hobby that, you know, maybe not to the extent that Vegas Dave is talking about, but there's a lot of people that do believe we're in a bubble that's going to crash and that's going to, you know, like prices are going to come crashing down and then they want it to be at the level it was before the boom.
Okay. We have been talking about a bubble every week for 3 years.
I know. Seriously.
Every week for 3 years, we're like, is it the bubble yet? Is it the bubble yet? Like, we just literally do this every, like, when it pops, we'll know.
Yeah. But there's people out there that will see that Vegas Dave's video, and they'll be like, yes, that's exactly how I've been feeling for the last 5 years.
The thing is that, like, his such a vague thing that he said, the bubble's going to pop in 2024.
Which is 3 years from now.
So if it pops any time before
not genius, but
if it pops any time before that, he can come back and be like, I was right. I told you.
Mm-hmm. But if it pops after, then what?
If it's like a year or two after, he's like, look how close I was.
Like, yeah, I mean, the thing is that it doesn't. But doesn't take a genius to say we've been on a steep incline in this industry for 3 solid years.
Yeah.
Everybody just record prices on individual cards, record prices on sealed wax, record prices at auction houses. Okay. It has to come down at some point.
I want to put this is in layman's. What signifies a bubble bursting? We talk about it all the time, but what does a bubble bursting mean?
Everybody's
just gone? Like, it's a ghost town in the hobby? Or
nobody buys sealed wax anymore?
Well, the funny thing is that in March, we were all talking about it. We're like, well, the bubble was going to pop, and now we're in a pandemic. So next week, the bubble it'll pop, it'll be over, and we're going to go back. What happened? It just did the opposite.
Yeah.
Because I remember having a conversation with all you guys going, well, we had a hell of a run, guys. That was a hell of a run.
Yeah.
But we're going to go back to 2014 right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't happen.
Yeah.
And so I think. And the thing is that it's not going to be an overnight thing.
It's not going to be an overnight thing.
It's going to be
a gradual decrease.
Yeah. Steady decrease.
I mean, like, where can we, like, where do we need to be? That's what I'm saying. And I know this, there may be not an answer to this, but like, do we need to be, like, to say, like, all right, it's over. It's bubble has popped. Today on blah, blah, blah day on Tuesday, it's official that the bubble is bursted.
March 7th, 2021. 3:33 p.m.
just like what they say with in the financial field with stocks and all that stuff, like, you can't predict the market as much as you think one way or the other. You really can't predict it. It's going to do what it's going to do.
Well, if you could, you would be a millionaire.
Yeah.
Well, look,
like Vegas Dave.
Read this thing. I mean, that is crazy. 40% of Random Mindy with some good knowledge. 40% of all dollars in the economy were printed in the last 12 months.
Yeah.
So you kind of correlate that with everything going down, right?
If you look at something like that, you would want to put your money into
something that's not
something that is a physical asset.
Right.
Right. Or a virtual asset.
A virtual asset.
I mean, you're seeing these rise.
Is that crypto? Are you talking about our favorite Chinese coffee brand?
Maybe both.
I told you it was not. We're okay. It's going back up.
Hopefully.
I mean, you know, like I said, I started investing in the stock market in March, and I've done, and I don't know anything, and I've made some good money on my investments, because my thought during all of this, and which goes back to this 40%, was, you know, these guys that do stockbroking and stuff like that, they have X amount of money to spend, and they know if they leave it in their bank account, they're going to get passed up. Their money's going to be, instead of having, let's just say, $10,000, in a year they're going to have $2,000. But if they put it in the stock market or in an asset that it appreciates, now that's caught up to where the dollar is.
It essentially runs parallel with the dollar. If the company is performing, I guess.
Right. Yeah. So they're already going to where, like, say, bread was $2.50 in 2018. Now bread's going to be $6 in 2022. So adjusted that.
We are really close to being a $9 double cheeseburger from McDonald's.
Not the value meal.
No, yeah, I mean, no, just the cheeseburger.
Right,
just
right.
$9.
And I don't know what the ramifications of all this money going into crypto does to the actual dollar as well. So, you know what I mean? What are you laughing at? Maybe which one are you laughing at? Mojo Bets by Mannion. Maybe when draft classes decline, sports viewership tanks, TV and revenue dwindles, and pro sports dissolve altogether. Who knows?
No, that's not what I'm laughing about.
Luck and coffee.
I didn't
jump on that train. I didn't jump on that train.
That train's left.
But I am very happy with my what's that Tilray. I'm very happy with Tilray. My very low purchase of Tilray looked pretty good today, which I bought like a year ago. But anyways. Wish I would have put more. But that's always
weed and coffee. Can't go wrong.
Exactly.
Again, we are not financial advisors, guys. So
yeah,
don't
exactly.
Say what,
we're not telling you anything to buy. We're just talking about what we have in our.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have any of that. I play a like a stock market fantasy game.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So that's what I what I do.
Yeah, exactly. No doubt. No doubt. Well, you guys have anything else to add? Well, we actually have the last slide here. We want to go over, just to keep in mind, this is stuff that's on the internet, public knowledge, but this is allegedly. This is the man that's saying stuff's going to crash when he has all this stuff that's made you question his integrity. His $2.5 million Royals bet was won.
The bottom one.
Yeah, his $2.5 Royals bet was won with $700K bailout money from his parents. He's banned from Vegas casinos for 3 years for using other people's Social Security numbers to avoid paying taxes to place
bets.
Well,
that's not good.
He's allegedly sold a fake Jordan for $200,000, I think 3 or 4 years ago. There's a lot of stuff that, you know, like I say, I don't know if they're true because you read stuff on the internet. You don't know if there's true, but you don't know if it's true. But there's a lot of stuff about him that if this is the guy that's good, you're going to listen to. That's all I'm saying. You know, keep this stuff in mind. If you go on his Instagram, you'll see a lot of posts saying he's the GOAT. It says GOAT, 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 GOAT. And if you click on those profiles, those are all private profiles. So this guy, from what I can tell, is buying comments. Got buying comments to bolster his ego. For a man that has as many Twitter followers he has very little interaction with anybody.
Yeah, he is one of the few content providers on Twitter that will make a post. And how many followers does he have?
Like a million.
Do we know that?
On Twitter?
Yeah. He'll get like 8 comments. Let me put that in comparison. We have a little bit less than 10,000 followers. And when we post something, we'll get 12, 14 comments.
He has 71,000 followers.
He has 71,000. So do the math. We have 10,000. We get more comments. He has 71,000 and we'll get like 8 comments. And I think all those comments are actually they're paid for. I mean,
yeah, I mean, Instagram has 3 million followers.
Oh, it's the Instagram.
I'm not hating the game, but I think you got to get called out on it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's living that life. He claims to be very successful. We don't know at the end of the day where he got his money from. I mean, probably this picture right here is where he got his money from with his folks. But you know, he flexes all the goddamn time, and I know you should be proud of your accomplishments, but there's a lot of questionable stuff going on.
Is that him as the Terminator?
Yes. And as Scarface as well. So, but, you know, he's an entertaining follow. Hate him or not, he says some stuff that makes us have a 30-40 minute segment on him.
Yeah,
so
we've been talking about that boy for a long time.
We've been talking about him for probably like the first 20 episodes. We're talking about the trout. I will eat crow and saying when he bought that trout, we laughed that he paid $300,000 for this trout. $300,000 for this trout, and there was no way that he was going to make money on that, and he did. So we ate crow on that one. He correctly did that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you watch the video again, if you guys watch the video for yourselves and form your own opinion, you know, he makes some valid points. But then he it goes backwards by like look at me, you know, boasting. It's like, bro, make your point. Get out of here, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Gary V ain't got time for you, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Stop putting those
get
things
on Gary's level, bro.
Yeah. Yep. If Vegas Dave drank kombucha, he would be more popular. I think Dan would absolutely agree with
that. I'd take a side.
Yeah. He might be Vegas Dave.
I'd be Team Vegas Dave.
You'd
in
be
a
Vegas
second.
Dan.
I'd be Vegas Dan.
Right next to him. With a
Vegas Dan, Vegas Dave, sponsored by just kombucha.
Exactly.
Just on the Vegas Strip in the club, drinking kombucha, having a heck of a time.
Yeah, it just goes to show, you know, like he made his fortune supposedly from like, you know, sports bets and making investments like that.
I wonder if Vegas Dave hangs out the El Cortez.
Probably not.
But like for every Mike Trout investment that pays off, there's Derek Carr investments. I hate to say it as a Raider fan, but like, yep, you know, there's the Derek Carr investments that won't pay off.
Well, he claims because he already obviously does his research. He knows what his haters are saying. He obviously knows everybody's peppering him with this Derek Carr situation. He said he bought those so low that he's still doubled his money on all the cards he has.
I don't remember Derek Carr really being that low. I think right now is his for the card value. If it's like the lowest point right now.
I mean, to his credit, if you know when to sell, like during the middle of the season when he has like a few good games, then yes, you can make money off of Derek Carr.
Did that? I mean, you watch every Raiders game. Is that a thing?
Yeah. So like, if you buy a contender's rookie ticket auto over the summer for like $4,000, you can probably sell that same auto when he has a few hot games for $5,000. During the season, right? So you'll make $1,000.
But it's tough to look at the Raiders right now,
yeah,
and be like, with no doubt, 100%, Derek Carr is the future quarterback of that franchise.
Yeah,
hard to say that.
Yeah, but I've seen specifically that example of like people buying Derek Carrs over the summer and then flipping them during the season.
And you do know, I mean, Derek Carrs. Let's say he leaves, like, or he gets released, or he gets traded, and let's say he goes to Jacksonville. His card values are going to plummet.
Yeah.
And we've always seen that. When a player leaves the team that drafted him, generally, his cards go down, especially unless he goes to a team, turns it around, wins a Super Bowl, and it's a high market team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like a big market team. Jacksonville wouldn't be that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, at this point, you know, like, investing heavily in Derek Carr is not smart, obviously.
No.
He's been in the league for 8 years now.
This would be, he'd be going into year 7.
Dan just bought some Derek Carr.
You know by year 7 or 8 if a quarterback's going to be,
so
value is going to go up. Year 3.
Before we do that, like,
or 4.
So in the shop, we actually had somebody come in and sell their Derek Carr collection to us. And I bought it.
But when?
About a week ago.
Where's this? I haven't seen this.
There's like 4 cards.
It
acts like it's a lot.
It was a huge collection. It basically
some
came in
chromes.
It was shipped to us on a pallet, shrink wrapped. I had to dig for it. It was 4 cards. I gave him $250.
What's in it?
Just Topps Chrome rookies that are graded. And
I'm gonna have to cop those.
And a select rookie auto.
Sweet.
But that tells you like. $250
For
4 cards. If that was Mahomes, that'd be
$250,000.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, that's all we got for today's show. If you're looking for sealed wax, check out our mojobreakshop.com where we have do the 2021 Topps hobby boxes and jumbo boxes at a really competitive price, lower than all the other online retailers. We also have optics still up there at $799, which is about $100 cheaper than everybody else. So get it yourself. Open it yourself. Be your own breaker at mojobreakshop.com. But if you want to get into breaks, we've got optic breaking tonight. We have 2021 Series 1 breaking as well, and that's at mojobreak.com where all of the breaks are scheduled. So you can go on. You can find out when your break is happening. Those are all open live on YouTube. We're actually going to be live in about a couple minutes breaking more Series 1 and a lot more stuff throughout the week. That's it for now, guys. Make sure you follow us at Mojo Break M on Twitter. It's our Mojo Break media channel. We're doing some giveaways right now for some Topps update as well, so check that out. And also check out Cody's interview with Blake Jameson, the artist from the Project 70 and the Project 2020. Has some great pieces. He happens to be from the Bay Area. He's actually an A's fan, which is crazy. I didn't know there was more than 3 of you guys out there, but there's A's
6.5
fans. Yeah, so he talks about that, and it's a great interview. It's on our Mojo Break media channel as well. And that's it for now. We'll see you guys on next week's show. Peace out.